This episode is brought to you by the American Homebrewers Association, organizers of the 22nd annual Learn to Homebrew Day, coming up on Saturday, November 7th. Learn to Homebrew Day is an opportunity to celebrate and spread the joy of one of the most rewarding and delicious activities of all time. Pledge to brew this November 7th and receive a promo code for $5 off a one-year American Homebrewers Association membership. Visit homebrewersassociation.org to learn more. That's homebrewersassociation.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about homebrewing. This week, Glenn Cole from Midwest Ale Works in East Moline, Illinois, introduces us to a beer designed to help farmers and communities devastated by this past summer's derecho. Glenn also talks about juggling his dual roles at a small American craft brewery and at a traditional German Rheinheitsgebot-based brewery. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks. And if you follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at Basic Brewing, find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. And you found us, so there you go. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing, and many thanks to everybody who is helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters will see an early release later this week of our Zombie Hard Seltzer video episode. You remember my talking about struggling to brew what would seem to be a simple thing, hard seltzer. After all, it's just water and sugar, right? It should be easy. Well, it might be easier for me next time I do it, now that I know what to do or what not to do. And we'll see in that episode what Steve thinks of my seltzer concoction. Hey, big congratulations to Grant Chandler and the team down at Lost 40 Brewing in Little Rock. They've been named Mid-Size Brewing Company and Mid-Size Brewing Company Brewer of the Year in the Great American Beer Festival Awards this year. And, of course, congratulations to everybody else who won recognition and medals at the GABF. But I got to brag about Lost 40, you know, being from my home state of Arkansas. Quite an accomplishment. And their bottle-conditioned Day Drinker IPA won gold in the Brett beer category. And I know that Grant had to have a big part in brewing that. Being the funky guy that he is, again, big kudos to everybody down at Lost 40. And I need to plan a trip down to Little Rock to check out what fun stuff that they've been doing lately. I've been getting letters in from y'all for our annual disaster show. There are some good ones. I may have to add more categories to the disaster show bingo card. If you're not familiar, each year Steve Wilkes of stevesbrewshop.com and I get together to read your tales of woe from over the past year, brewing woe, brewing sessions that go wrong and turn out all right, and some that don't. I still need to get together with Steve to lock down when we're going to be recording that one. Probably early December, I would guess. So get your disaster show letter into james@basicbrewing.com before you forget. Always a fun time. One beer that didn't turn out disastrous is my attempt at a Dumpf beer. This was a beer inspired by my conversation with Adam Ross at Twin Span Brewing. It is a barley beer brewed with Hefeweizen yeast. And Adam used, you know, Pilsner malt, but I used Munich malt, mostly 10 Lovibon, but I used a little bit of 20 as well. And at first I didn't think I was getting a lot of banana and clove character that I wanted. But as the beer is conditioning in the keg, and, you know, kind of the yeast is falling out, and as the, you know, the proteins fall out, those flavors are coming through more. And it's not like dark banana bread. It's more balanced, very drinkable. And I can't wait to share it with Steve on Basic Brewing Video. I brewed that Dumpf beer with G01 Stefan from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Organic Yeast. You know we love Imperial. With a pitch rate of 200 billion cells in each easy-to-open package, my stir plate is dusty because I don't make starters anymore for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. And if you want to use Stefan for a traditional Hefeweizen, that would be delicious. And we have a recipe for you to try. Go to basicbrewing.com/recipes, and you can see our small but growing recipe site. And on there, Gary's Hefeweizen is a recipe from Gary Batliner, who is responsible for growing the yeast at Imperial. So he knows what he's doing. Gary's Hefeweizen uses red wheat, Pilsner malt, and a little rye. Gary says the rye plays nicely with the clove notes from the Imperial Stefan. And on basicbrewing.com/recipes, you can also find Steve Wilkes' recipe for a nice, simple cider using A40GF Bubbles from Imperial. Bubbles is a gluten-free seasonal strain designed for very clean fruit and mead fermentations. And I've got a pack that I'm planning to use with a local honey mead. Ask your local homebrew shop about Imperial Organic Yeast and go to imperialyeast.com for all the latest. That's imperialyeast.com. On the food fermentation front, I'm trying something new, at least new to me. It's very exciting. I was watching a video on the Bon Appetit YouTube channel, and Brad, who does the It's Alive show where he ferments a bunch of different things, Brad fermented a ginger and garlic paste in a sealed, vacuum-sealed bag, which I hadn't seen that before. I hadn't seen anybody use a vacuum-sealed bag for food fermentation. I'm used to just, you know, using the jars and weights and all that stuff to keep the food away from the oxygen. So I looked it up, and it's a thing. Other people using vacuum-sealed bags to, you know, ferment fruit and peppers for hot sauce. So Brad also did a kimchi, sort of, with Brussels sprouts, but he did that in a jar. So I wondered what would happen if I did something like that kimchi recipe with the Brussels sprouts in a vacuum-sealed bag. So I mixed up a pound of halved Brussels sprouts, some sliced radishes, some squeezed ginger, some minced garlic, some fish sauce, paprika, and hot pepper flakes, along with 2% salt by weight. And all that went into the vacuum bag. And since you're sucking all that air out, you don't have to worry about oxygen exposure. And the bag will inflate a bit as the lactobacillus does its job, but that happens more slowly than in an alcohol fermentation. You wouldn't want to try that with the yeast and sugar because, you know, you just have a big explosion. But I'm not too worried about the bag popping. It is, you know, there is now room in the bag where I can, this morning, I did this yesterday afternoon. So this morning I woke up and the bag is loose. So there is room to mix the veggies around a bit, and there is some liquid in there. So anyway, I don't think it's gonna blow up and pop, but I will keep you posted on that. Stay tuned. The holiday season is coming up. It's time for you to make your Christmas list. Why not ask Santa for a new electric brewing system from our friends and sponsors Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa? Now, I know a lot of folks aren't in a place to afford new gear right now. It's a challenging time for a lot of folks. But if you are in a place where you can treat yourself and support a family-owned business, go to highgravitybrew.com and check out what they've got. Desiree and Dave have been making and selling electric systems for over a decade, and they use their Warthog electric controllers and systems in their Pippin's tap room. So you know that they're tested well in a professional environment. At highgravitybrew.com, you can see a wide variety of controllers and turnkey systems to take the pain out of propane. You can also find other electric gear from other manufacturers, too. From 5 gallons to 2 barrels, highgravitybrew.com has you covered. And if you use the code EBC75BB, EBC75BB, you can save $75 off your electric gear purchase. Check it all out at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com. That's highgravitybrew.com. Okay, Adam Ross from Twinspan Brewing sent me a note letting me know about Glenn Cole's efforts to design a beer to help the victims of an incredible storm that swept across our country this past summer, and you might not have heard about it. Well, Glenn Cole, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, you were the brand ambassador for Midwest Ale Works, but as we were talking just before I hit the record button, that is really a simplification of your duties. What do you do there at Midwest?
Oh, I wear a lot of hats. So I brew all of their beer. Very rarely do I brew any of my recipes, but I brew all of their product. I am also the marketing director. I handle all of their social media. I do send out all of the press releases for everything. I do all of the in-house promotions and events. So I book all of the events and things that we do with the community, with charities and other local businesses and collaborations. So I do a lot of things. Pretty much only thing I don't do is manage the tap room.
Watch out, that's next. Don't tell them you have any free time at all. So tell me about your background. How did you get into brewing, and how did you become a professional brewer?
I guess my story starts with brewing about 6 years ago now. I was renting a room in a bachelor pad house with like four other guys, and two of the guys that lived there were home brewers, and I was a business professional back then. I was an insurance agent for 9 years, and so they were brewing some pretty decent homebrew, and I was like, man, you guys could turn this into a business. So I actually was more interested in doing the business side of things and opening a brewery. And I started booking them all kinds of tasting events, networking events, and festivals and things. And they couldn't keep up with the homebrew production to do all of these samplings. So I ended up having to start brewing out of necessity of just doing the business side of thing, the promoting side of things. And I just really, really got into it. It's usually not my my type of thing. I'm usually way more on the business side. But I got really into the competitive homebrewing side. In 2018, I took home 28 awards in 11 states, two best of shows. And so from then, I kind of felt like, yeah, I think I could probably get more on the production side of things and turn that into a career. I got picked up by Hofbrauhaus in St. Louis. That's where I'm originally from. I did an apprenticeship under German Munich brewmaster for about 6 months. And then I was the assistant brewmaster there. And after my time was done there, I moved up to the Quad Cities, which is where I'm currently living. And I was the R&D brewer and marketing director for Bent River Brewing Company in Rock Island and Moline, Illinois. From then, I got picked up by Geneseo Brewing in Geneseo, Illinois, as their head brewer. I was there for a year as that position. And now I'm the brand ambassador for Midwest Ale Works, as well as I'm actually, just as of 2 days ago, the brewmaster for St. Louis Hofbrauhaus. So I spend about half my time down in St. Louis, half my time in the Quad Cities now.
Wow, that's amazing. And Hofbrauhaus, that's the one that's based on the German brewery, right?
Right. So yeah, there's 8 locations in the U.S. There's locations all over the world, but there's 8 in the U.S. The one in St. Louis is the largest one, and the second newest one. I think the one in Buffalo that just opened in the past couple of years is just a little newer. But they're just outside of most major cities, usually in a kind of sister city. So the one that's in St. Louis is actually on the Illinois side in Belleville. But yeah, it's all to their international standards. It's all Reinheitsgebot, so there's it's all of their original recipes. I'm not allowed to brew any. I have, you know, all kinds of decoctions, step mashing, not allowed to force carbonate with CO2. Everything has to be naturally carbonated. It's a completely different way of brewing, but that's how I got my professional start, was brewing the hard way. So it only got easier from then.
Yeah, I've been to the one that is across the river from Cincinnati. I think that's where it was.
Yep.
Delicious beers, just extremely well done. And, with all that supervision and all that, are you getting a product there or brewing a product there that's close to, the motherland or the fatherland?
Yeah, that's kind of the great thing about it, is it's like entering a competition every month, sending the samples out and getting the results back, because they judge you, they put it through through the lab. So, I mean, if your color is just barely off on your Dunkel, and if you're not getting the right filter on your lager, they let you know. You got to be inside certain parameters to be keeping up to their standards. So it's actually just every batch is almost, making me a better brewer, of just being more consistent and doing those extremely, corporate standards.
Wow, that's impressive. So talk about Midwest Ale Works. I take it from reading the website that it's a different animal.
Completely different brewery. Probably couldn't be more opposite. So Midwest Ale Works is in East Moline, Illinois, in the Quad Cities. It's one of the newest breweries that's up here. We have 12 breweries in this area. It's actually attached to a huge music venue, like several thousand people music venue, and you can bring the beer from the brewery in to see the concerts and everything, which is really great when it's not COVID. But yeah, it's kind of the building is actually an old, from the 1900s, car manufacturing facility that's been repurposed into kind of a communal business place. So there's the music venue, there's the brewery, there's a street taco place, there's a salon, a coffee shop. There's just all kinds of new businesses that are popping up in there, a gym. But we all kind of share the space. It's all open. You walk in between all of these different businesses, like a mall without a hallway. Like, you're literally walking through all of these businesses to go from one to the next. So like, we don't have food, but the taco place is literally just a doorway away from our tap room. So that's really nice. And we work really well together. We're always promoting each other. It's a very collaborative space, for sure. So we brew on a 10-barrel direct fire alpha system. We're brewing most of the things on our pilot batch right now, just because we are not moving the volume that we used to when we had the concerts going on. We would have anywhere between, 2,000 to 3,000 people in on a Wednesday night back when things were great. So now that everybody's kind of being a little more picky, they brought me on board post quarantine and everything. I was at Geneseo Brewing before that, but I've kind of built up a reputation for my promotions and my marketing. So they brought me in to get into distribution, get into packaging, and to come up with some creative promotions for selling their beer, kind of the COVID pivot, as we've been calling it.
Well, a lot of businesses have found new outlets and have actually, gotten stronger during this time. So hopefully y'all will be in that category.
Yeah, that's the direction we're starting to see some growth, which is great. We coasted through with the to-go sales and everything when the tap room was closed. And now that the tap room's open with partial capacity, we're still seeing a good amount of people coming in, spending a little bit of time, spacing out really well. We have a lot of space, which is really great for us. And really taking advantage of the to-go. We started canning during all of this. So I've been working with my favorite artist that I've worked with at every brewery that I've worked for, Patrick Hale. He's out of North Carolina now. He's kind of bounced around quite a bit too, but since I was the marketing director at Bent River, he's done all of the art for all of my promotions and everything. So he's thrown out some great can art since we've started canning, and that's been our pivot, and it's definitely been picking up for us.
And looking at some of the beers on the website, it looks like the Rheinheitsgebot is not in force.
It is not enforced. No, we do quite a bit of traditional styles, surprisingly. Probably more than a lot of the breweries in our area. But we also balance that out with some really out there beers as well. We've done pickle beers. We've done all kinds of, pastry stouts, hazy IPAs. We just did a collaboration with a local beer shop and did a strawberry rhubarb triple IPA and
Whoa.
things. So we've been we definitely do not hesitate to use weird ingredients. We had a prickly pear and watermelon wheat over the summer that was extremely popular for us. And we do as many of the collaborations as possible. We've done Black is Beautiful all together, all of those. So we've we kind of just do whatever feels right on a given day.
So tell me about how it sounds like if you're working with pickles and strawberry and rhubarb and it sounds like you're working with fruits and vegetables a lot. What are your strategies? Remember, you're talking to homebrewers here, so don't worry about, getting too technical, but what are your approaches into getting the best out of those flavors out of the fruits and vegetables?
So I'm pretty well known around these parts with the brewing industry of my love for cucumbers. So when I was home brewing, the beer that I've won the most awards for is my Cucumber Goza. And so I got really into kettle souring, and then for some reason I just got really into cucumbers. So I've done saisons with cucumbers, IPAs with cucumbers. Every time I've done pickle beers, actually, I've never actually used pickles or dill. I just use fresh cucumbers, and I use a lot of hops to bring out the kind of dill flavor. So particularly, I just did a sour IPA, a pickle sour IPA, and I kettle soured my normal hazy IPA recipe. I put fresh sliced cucumbers in secondary after fermentation. I peeled them and sliced them as thin as possible. And then I dry hopped heavily with Sriracha Ace and Lemon Drop hops, and that really kind of brought out the dill and tartness even more. So yeah, that's my secret of making good pickle beer is not to use pickles or dill.
Well, it seems to work. Well, that's cool. You mentioned Black is Beautiful, which is it's just a beer designed for raising money and raising awareness for a cause. And that's why I'm talking to you today. Adam Ross over at Twinspan sent me an email and said that y'all are working on a project called Midwest Legend that you're hoping to get the word about and hoping to get other people brewing as well. Tell me about Midwest Legend.
Excellent. So this was a really huge whirlwind in my career. Around this time last year, when I was the head brewer at Geneseo Brewing, there is a young man from Iowa, went to Iowa State, his name's Carson King, and he held up a sign asking for to replenish his Busch Light supply, and had his Venmo number name on there, and it got picked up on ESPN, and it just blew up. People started giving him money, and within, I think he said within like 3 hours, he had $600, and he was like, "Well, this is way more than I could deal with for beer money." So he wanted to end up donating the money. Well, the story went viral, and Busch ended up getting involved, and they were going to donate. They were going to match whatever donations that he raised, and all of these other big companies, jumped in. Venmo jumped in and said, "We're going to do this too." And he ended up raising a couple million dollars.
Holy smokes.
And yeah, it was really crazy. But then there was a slanderous article that was written by the Des Moines Register. One of their journalists had dug super deep through this guy's Twitter account, and I guess he had retweeted a Tosh.0 skit back in 2016 that was pretty
Edgy.
edgy. Yeah, it was normal Comedy Central humor, but on a guy that's at that big of a platform at that point in his life of trying to raise all this money and try to make himself look like a good guy. This guy really tried to make him look bad. Well, in cancel culture and in 2019, Anheuser-Busch decided to pull their donation. And Iowa really didn't like that. Iowa is very corn. They love their Busch beer. And when they found out that Anheuser-Busch was going to pull their donation for raising all this money for children's hospital, Iowa freaked out and went really, really crazy on social media and on, you know, everything that they could. And it just so happened that day that Anheuser-Busch pulled their donation, I was in the middle of kegging off a new lager that I didn't have a name for or anything. And being, you know, living in the Iowa area and everything, Quad Cities is on the border, on the Mississippi, on the border of Illinois and Iowa, kind of hit home pretty hard. And I was like, I'm going to name this beer after him and we're going to donate the money. You know, we should have been doing this with independent breweries from the beginning. It shouldn't have been so corporate. And so I wrote an open letter to Carson and just threw it up on Facebook. And within an hour, it had reached over 3 million people. it's the most viral post that I've ever been a part of. And yeah, within a couple of hours, he contacted me. Enough people to him and spread it around he contacted me and I told him, hey, I got this beer. I'm going to name it Iowa Legend after you. And we're going to donate all of the proceeds from it. And, we just want to help. We just want to let you know that, you know, we got your back. This isn't something to be cancel cultured over or anything like that. And it was great. We ended up, it was only a 5-barrel batch and we completely blew through it, in 2 days.
Wow.
And that was only, we would have ran out in one day, but we ran out of cans. I ended up having to, you know, and the brewing community is, you know, wonderful. And we had people donated labels to us. The artist was able to get us a label art in like 2 hours. And then somebody was able to get labels printed overnight and send them to us. And when we ran out of cans, we were able to borrow cans from another brewery. So it was just an awesome thing to be a part of. And so this year rolls around and we just had a huge storm that pretty much wiped out Iowa, derecho. I'm not sure how much, coverage, press coverage and everything that got out of Iowa. It doesn't seem like much because they didn't get any federal help with it, but it took out over 50% of the, Iowa corn.
Mm.
So, most farmers who are already hurting are wiped out. Over 300 buildings were knocked down. It was a land hurricane. It was crazy, and it was a scar so big you could see it from space, and just the entire state of Iowa. And then it also crossed over and did a lot of damage in Illinois, and there was a fatality from it in Indiana.
Wow.
That far. So it was the craziest storm, did a ton of damage. The Quad Cities got hit really hard. We had a lot of damage here, but mostly Iowa. And it just, you know, small businesses and farmers that were already hurt so much just from other 2020 stuff were just wiped out and not getting any federal help. So Carson actually reached out to me and said, hey, I want to do another beer and help these farmers and help these small businesses and, you know, come up with an idea. And let's do it. And just so happened at that point, I was now at Midwest Ale Works. We're just starting to distribute. We're just starting to package. I got a much bigger brewing system, much more capacity. I'm like, yes, I'm in a good brewery to do this. And now much bigger brewery, and we can do so much more help and everything. And we started brainstorming what we were going to do. And big thing is we can't distribute in Iowa yet. So I was like, man, that doesn't really, I don't want to brew a beer in Illinois and just distribute it in Illinois to help out mostly Iowa. So I was like, you know, we just did Black is Beautiful. We did All Together. At the other breweries I was at, you know, we did Resilience. I've done every one of these open source collaborations that I've come across. So I was like, you know, we haven't done one in the Midwest. We need I've done enough of these. I've got enough of the, been a part of enough of them to where I feel like I could put one together and get it out there. So, we decided with, Midwest Legend so that it wasn't, an Iowa legend again, since I used that at a different brewery, and we're Midwest Ale Works. So it kind of tied it all together. Mm-hmm. And we decided to do a pretty simple recipe. It's a blonde ale, and every brewery is encouraged to put their own spin on it. As far as I know, no brewery has used the recipe that I sent out. I'm pretty sure everyone has put huge twists on it, which is great. It's pretty wonderful because the recipe that I actually put together, I actually worked with suppliers, ingredient suppliers who would give a discount to make it as cheap as possible for these breweries because so many breweries were already struggling. So I worked with Sugar Creek Malt. They're an independent malting company out of just around the Indianapolis area. I want to say just a little bit north of Indianapolis. I've worked with them several times in the past on other projects. So they put out a big discount if you wanted to use their malt. Omega Yeast, I have a really good relationship with a couple of guys there. And I'm a huge Kvike fan. I use Kvike any chance that I can. I love it. When I was at Geneseo Brewing, I switched all of their yeast to Kvike and doubled production in a year. Wow. Just from changing yeast. So I work with, and I participated in Kvike Fest in Chicago and things and working with Omega. And so Omega has a new clean yeast strain called Lutra out. And so that is discounted at a heavy discount for breweries that are going to be participating in this collaboration. And who else? Oh, and then hops. Michigan Hop Alliance is like my go-to for hops, and they donated, well, they extremely discounted bittering hops for use in this recipe too. So I made a recipe based around who was going to give us discounted ingredients, but so far everybody has kind of completely done their own take on it. So Twinspan Brewing, like you were saying, Adam Ross, head brewer over there in Bettendorf, Iowa, they're doing, he used all Iowa ingredients, which is perfect for this promotion because that's exactly what we're trying to do is help farmers in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So he used all Iowa grown hops, all Iowa grown malt. You know, we actually got Carson King to be there for that brew. He got to be brewer for a day. We pretty much just made him mash out and clean up, so you can put that on his resume. Geneseo Brewing, they did it too. They did a pumpkin spice version. Vera's Brew Pub down in Keokuk, Iowa, I know they did a used all British malt and British yeast to make kind of a British golden version of it. I know another brewery, and I can't think of the name, has pawpaw fruit that's grown in their area, and somebody donated a whole bunch of pawpaw fruit.
Huh.
So they did a pawpaw version. I have used pawpaw in like one test batch once, and it gave off very banana. So I'll be really interested to try that one. We're trying to get all the breweries that are participating too to kind of, if they can't come in and share some all together at the end, then to, you know, mail us in a sample or something so that we can taste all the different versions. Right now, I think we're up to 12 breweries, and it's almost an even split between Iowa and Illinois, except for we have one brewery from Virginia that's registered. So,
wow.
Yeah, but it's completely open for any brewery that that wants to do it. Home brewers, too. I mean, even if, you know, and obviously you can't sell your home brewer, give back in that way or any way, but, you know, take advantage of, you know, maybe you're able to get some discount on this malt and things. And, you know, it's really just helping them move product right now.
Let's take a quick break to talk about our friends and sponsors, Ricky and Kelly from Groenfell Meadery up in Vermont. Last week, I teased you with the news that something big is coming in the next few weeks from Groenfell. It's called the Groenfell Ancient Collection. And Ricky says it's been 3 years or three millennia in the making, depending on how you count things. Well, Ricky is still holding his cards close to the vest, but he says that they've gotten handmade toasted staves of oak, ash, and cherry to begin the aging process. And if you follow Groenfell on social media, you saw some beautiful bottles that are in the design phase to hold these delicious meads. I'm assuming that they're meads. That's what Groenfell is all about. Groenfell and Havoc meads are craft meads that are exceptionally delicious and drinkable. Fairly moderate gravity, at least for meads. Some are carbonated and come in cans that are easily packed for hiking or camping or just sitting on the porch, to be honest. And the best news is that you can have Groenfell meads delivered right to your home. More states, including mine, have been added to the delivery list. Check it all out at family-owned and operated Groenfell.com. That's Groenfell. Let's talk about your recipe. 76.1% two-row pale malt, 16.4% Vienna, 7.5% flaked corn, and then 20 IBUs of Bravo at a first wort hopping, and then the Lutra Kveik yeast from Omega yeast. And Adam Ross said that he used Saison yeast. So,
yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it's making kind of a harvest
thing. Yeah, yeah, like a farmhouse kind of a thing going on. So it sounds like would you call that a cream ale since it's got the corn in there?
Yeah, I think it's right on that edge. I know it's definitely an adjunct blonde ale, but I think, you know, if you boosted up that corn maybe just a little bit more, it would definitely be a pretty solid cream ale recipe as well.
And so you're wanting people to you're wanting to encourage professional brewers to brew this and donate the like in the Black is Beautiful project, each brewery got to choose their own local beneficiaries of the proceeds. But in this project, is all the money being sent back to the Carson King Foundation?
Correct. Yeah. So Carson King, after his big $3 million donation, started his own foundation, and just in the past year, since that $3 million, he's already raised, I want to say, $200,000 for different small Iowa organizations, places that really needed it. So he's already donated $30,000 to two different small communities that were directly hugely affected by the storm. But yeah, so all of the donations are going straight to the Carson King Foundation. That way we know none of the people that work for, they're all volunteers. I think there's only like four people that technically work for the Carson King Foundation. They're all volunteers. Carson doesn't take any money. None of them take any money. They all do it voluntarily. And they're very connected with small communities in Iowa and Illinois. So they're not donating to Red Cross. You know, they're not sending the money to another charity or anything. They're writing a check and bringing it to city halls and giving it to the mayor of a small town where they know it's going to be needed. So we wanted to do it that way as opposed to, you know, doing it through the United Way or doing it through Red Cross or something where you don't always know how much is going to your cause and how much is staying in your communities. We wanted to make sure it was as directly affecting the people that we said that it was going to be raised for.
Right. Now, how can homebrewers who are listening and professional brewers, we have professional brewers as well, they may want to get in on this as well, where can they find out more information?
Right on our website, MidwestAleWorks.com/fundraiser, has the recipe. It's open source. It has all of the information about registering. It has all of the like Facebook promotional materials. It's all free to use. For homebrewers, it's a huge help for just getting the word out. You're more than welcome to use the promotional materials for on Facebook to say that, you know, this is why you're brewing this. Encourage breweries in your area for sure to brew it for this cause. Maybe see if you can do it as a collaboration, as a reverse collaboration, I think they call it when homebrewers come in and get to brew. Things like that. But yeah, the label is up for free use and it's actually like a template. So we're encouraging people to use pictures from wherever they're from, something that like kind of represents, you know, what they're using for their spin on it, or just their community. So our the Midwest Ale Works version, Molly Emerson is a local photographer that donated a picture of a nice sunflower field in eastern Iowa to us. So that's our background, but the label template is white, so you can totally put whatever background you want on it, and super easy to use. And yeah, so if you want to throw it on some homebrew labels, and or, you know, throw the labels on some homebrew bottles, that's cool too. It's totally open source. And yeah, definitely be reaching out to your local breweries and seeing if if they'll brew it, and if you can help in any way.
And if you want to, if anybody wants to contribute directly to the cause, how would they do that?
You can do that right through the Carson King Foundation. Just shoot them, you know, Google, or definitely on Facebook. All the information's on there. They have a donation link. They have an online store for, you know, different T-shirts and stuff. That's all proceeds go to Carson King Foundation. So, yep, if you're trying to donate directly, it's all Midwest Ale Works is not taking any money from this at all. It's going straight to the Carson King Foundation. So that's the direction that I would point everybody at as well, if they're trying to make a donation.
Well, excellent. And we'll, you know, we may not have heard about the storm. I mean, I did, and I saw some YouTube clips of the thing coming through and knocking trees down, and, you know, people had the security cameras up and all this, and it's incredible. It was basically an inland hurricane, like you said. So, you know, it's just amazing the amount of damage that was done. And in a normal news year,
right,
I think it would have made a bigger splash. But there's some other things going on. can't think of what they are at the time, but
yeah. And it's, I mean, this is just another great way of supporting your local brewery. I know I mentioned Vera's Brew Pub that make the British kind of spin on theirs. I actually just found out about a week ago, right after I went and did the brew with them, that they are closing their tap room. So they just couldn't survive 2020. They're still brewing for the time being, but you know, I talked to the head brewer a couple days ago just to kind of check in with them, and he said, yeah, we're still brewing, but he's just waiting for waiting for the day that they say, okay, this is the last brew. So you know, we should definitely be supporting our local breweries. And it's, you know, that's just another great, you know, callback of breweries is of these independent breweries is, you know, a lot of breweries that are participating in this, they don't know their future right now. They, you know, they're a small business just like the other small businesses we plan on helping out with this. So, you know, a lot of breweries will do these donations to help their community, even when, you know, faced with uncertainty of how long their business can handle going through the shutdowns that are happening.
So when you go to the brewery that's participating in this and pick up your Midwest Legend beer, pick up an equal or greater amount of other beers as well.
Exactly. This is just a great excuse to get you in the door and then keep buying beer from them. Directly from them.
Hear, hear. Yeah, it's important. We can joke and laugh around a bit, but yeah, a lot of people are you know, in tough situations in all kinds of different businesses. So it's important that we look out for each other. And I appreciate your and the Carson King Foundation looking out for the farmers, because you know, without farmers, we don't have beer.
Extremely true. That's couldn't be more true.
Well, I appreciate your time. I appreciate it. And good luck with the project, Glenn.
All right. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it, too.
Well, thanks again to Glenn. Go to MidwestAleWorks.com/fundraiser to learn more. And look up some videos about that derecho or derecho on the YouTubes and such. It's an incredible storm. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, or send in your disaster show story, write to james@basicbrewing.com, or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. Talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.